Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to the show. Welcome to the AfterBuzz TV recap for The Walking Dead Season 7, Episode 12. Say yes to the dress. Just kidding. It's just say yes. Why does everybody hate Rosita so much? What's the deal? Why do they want that to happen? Let's talk about it. Well, hang out with us. We'll see you guys in just a second.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, that's a good one.
Wow.
I didn't catch you do that.
I don't even know what to say about
that. It's pretty good. It's almost as if the Beatles knew we were going to have to recap the episode title.
That was good.
Yes. I like that we changed it up.
Yeah. That was good.
That was pretty good, Ben.
Yeah. We don't have John here to make his snarky comments.
No,
he would be really pissed off about that intro, actually.
He would. But he's in Japan, so.
He's in a better place.
Really? Yeah, right.
I think he is in Japan.
Yeah, I think he's in Tokyo.
Yeah.
So, guys, welcome to the show. Welcome to the AfterBuzz TV After Show for The Walking Dead. This is Season 7, Episode 12, titled Say Hi, Say Hello, Say Yes.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
Karaoke. We could do a karaoke night, actually.
I'd love to be into karaoke. You know I'm all about
there.
I got 5 songs. I do them all very well.
I got about 20, but.
Oh, sure. Yes.
Yeah.
What are your, just real quick, tangent, what's your karaoke song?
My number one song is Drake.
Start from the bottom?
Coming Home.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's my number one.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Mine's If I Ain't Got You.
Okay.
Or Lady Marmalade. Kill someone, Lady Marmalade.
Oh, snap!
I'm like almost all ballads. I would do Kiss from a Rose and Faithfully.
Seal, wow.
Yeah, Seal
Goes
and
well
Faith of a Journey. Those are like
those are
my two.
You guys, that means you got vocals, dude.
I'd sing it. And then Living on a Prayer is the other one that I sing sometimes.
Damn, you're a singer.
Oh, it's over. Can we go, please?
That's a lot of pressure.
Let's do it.
We're going there after this after show.
Yes. We're going to be drinking. All right, guys, this is the recap for Season 7, Episode 12. We're going to get right into it just as soon as I introduce my fabulous panel of karaoke singers, starting with the social media correspondent and man at the end of the table, Mr. Daryl Christian.
What's up, everybody? Good to see you again. I missed last week because of Oscars, but I'm back in full effect and ready to go. Put your comments on social media, and I will tell everything that's going on. Like, just let us know what you're thinking.
I want to ask you about the Oscars, but we're doing a Walking Dead show. Where can people find your Oscar stuff?
All at Daryl Christian. My name, DerrilChriston.
Cool.
Find all my recaps there.
Sweet.
Awesome. You guys can find me at Susanna_Kim, SusannahKim.
And I just flew back in from Vegas today. I was there for Klexicon, which was this amazing convention celebrating LGBTQ women on television. Awesome time. I had so much fun and just got back a few hours ago. So
that's dope,
I'm Ben Bailey.
You came back for us.
Yeah, I changed my flight actually to come back early.
We love that
totally
you're here, Ben.
Yeah, I'm very happy to be here. So Ben Bateman Media, if you guys want to follow along, you can see all of the escapades this weekend. What did you guys think about this episode right out the gate?
Ladies first.
Okay. It wasn't my favorite episode.
Okay.
It was... I was kind of expecting a little bit more of, like, planning and, like, them setting the stage for how they're gonna, you know, start the war, I guess, or whatever. So I just felt like it was a lot of, like, romance and stuff, which normally I like in shows, but I don't know. For some reason with The Walking Dead, for me, I was craving more action, and I don't know. It was a little slow for me. I still liked it. I love all the walker stuff. Like, we got a lot of zombie stuff. I love that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
For me, I liked the episode. It wasn't one of my favorites, but I did enjoy the episode. And there were two messages that I got from it, honestly. One was, find the guns. Like, it's all about finding the guns in this episode. And the second is, don't get comfortable.
Yeah.
Because the minute you get comfortable, some shit will change.
Right.
Yeah.
So those are two things that I took from this episode. So I can appreciate it. I'm sure we'll get into this a little bit later, but I told Susanna when we were watching, I have a big problem with the CGI of the deer. It bothered me when it was at the when they were at the amusement park. It looked so fake to me. I couldn't get past it. Like, I actually had to have her rewind it for a second because I got lost in how fake the deer looked.
It took you out of it.
It
looked
me out of it.
Dreamlike.
Yeah,
well,
it didn't fit into the particular scene.
Right.
Personal feelings, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently from the chat, a lot of people are feeling the same way. They were bored during this episode. They're saying that this episode sucked. They said no nudity. Wow. There's nudity.
More nudity.
Oh, they
please.
Want more nudity, please.
Yeah, okay.
Got it. Okay.
Well, okay. Yeah. You bring to mind something interesting, and I'll jump into the sort of beginning where we start because I think it's going to illustrate my opinion here, which is. The biggest problem this show has right now, and Roxy Stryer actually talked about this when she was on, is that the Rick and Michonne relationship is just not selling. Most people that I know aren't buying the relationship. Mm-hmm. I don't think that it's impossible that one day it could work for me, It's just that so far the chemistry falls really flat for me. It doesn't.
I feel you on that.
It's like I don't. It's not even that I think that in the context of the story they don't work. Like, I think that's fine. I know what they're doing. Michonne has replaced another character from the source material, and like we've talked about that a lot, and she's filling the role well, and she's a good character. She's a great character. Mm-hmm. She's one of the best characters. There's just something about their chemistry and their scenes, and so every time we go back to the Rick half of this whole thing, and we have a story that's driven by Rick, you get a lot of Rick making eyes at Michonne, Michonne having Rick be so important to her, and it's just like... Those were the biggest issues with tonight's episode. Yeah. A lot of the episode I was good with, but the moments that were like really driven by their commitment and love for each other were the parts that fell the most flat for me. Yeah. And I found that to be the case this season.
Well, I still feel like it goes back to them trying to teach us a message or a lesson. I feel like they showed so much of that is because of the fact that we got so wrapped up in them making out and going to find guns and making out some more. And then that moment of us kind of like being like, why are they showing this so much? At the end, there was that message of don't get comfortable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It still was like, I feel like they put that in our face so much just for us to come to that like resolution of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing so a couple things I really loved about this episode. Bear McCreary's music in this episode was
fantastic. Oh, it's fantastic. It was amazing. I loved it. I loved it. I'm all about the music.
Oh my God. I mean, Bear does a great job in general, but this episode, the music was just, it was this great combination of like, I love the way the episode opened with the cool, like this sort of like synthy 80s heartbeat kind of thing with no sound of them, you know, them breaking into houses and scavenging. I really liked the way that was all edited together. I thought that was really cool. And then when the episode got a little more emotional, it almost went into like this kind of Friday Night Lights, the explosions in the sky kind of sounding music, you know, very like sort of ambient guitars almost a little bit. And it was just great. That was probably my single favorite thing about tonight's episode is I thought that the music was really brilliant. But in the middle of all that, so we open up with them scavenging in this sequence where they're looking around and trying to make it happen and all that. And we get a bunch of cuts of Rick and Michonne boning in a van, and
lots of those shots
of places,
actually.
Yeah,
and then scavenging, and then more of that, and sleeping, and it's supposed to, you know, they're supposed to be on the road having a good time scavenging, but you know, really living to survive as opposed to just surrendering. Right. And then they come across this, like, I guess before they find the amusement park, they find some saviors.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Now, did they know that they were saviors?
I think so.
I feel like after they were listening to the conversations, they realized kind of who they were.
Right, yeah, because it was very savior-specific.
Savior-specific,
and if it wasn't the saviors, I assume they would have approached them or, you know.
Yeah, differently, yeah.
And they stole stuff out of the back of their truck.
Yes. Yeah. Got some chip or pretzels or something. Yeah.
Pretzels.
Yeah,
that was batteries. Risky, right? I was kind of like, that's risky. It's easily a way for them to be like, wait, someone's around here, you know?
Totally.
So I felt like it kind of put a target on them, so it made me nervous.
I was a little surprised they did it, too. Yeah, I couldn't. I was like, so that was the part of me that maybe thought they didn't know they were the saviors. We could hear the conversation because of the subtitles.
Right.
You hear them talking about
Fat Joey.
Mm-hmm. And that's how we knew they were saviors.
Right.
Yeah.
But Rick and Michonne don't know who Fat Joey is. Right?
True.
They've never seen or heard of Fat Joey.
I don't think they have,
So I don't know that they would know they were necessarily saviors.
Right. But I mean, they do, the groups do sort of like dress and have a very like, not like a gang, but you know what I mean? Like they dress similarly. So, you know, you could tell sort of by looking at them that they're saviors, at least in that grungy sort of, you know.
Right.
That sort of way. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess it's possible that they wouldn't know. But it definitely made me nervous the whole rest of the episode, thinking that every time they made they shot the rifle or made a big sound, I was like,
those guys,
how far were they?
Yeah.
How long did you guys travel really before you found this carnival?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. You know?
So after that, they find their way into this amusement park. And this is like where sort of the action of the episode starts.
Yeah.
It's clear that with this episode, they wanted to give us a little bit more of, like, the old school people fighting zombies thing.
Sure.
We don't get that much of that anymore in The Walking Dead.
It.
Yeah, and I think you can see how things have changed. It's two people walking around in an amusement park of, like, 70 zombies or something like that.
Right.
Just kind of, like, running one place to the other, like, not really concerned about standing too close to them or, like, walking on the top of a car. Or they're, you know what I mean? Like, just kind of cool with it. Like, they seem to be so comfortable now around these huge groups of walkers.
Yeah.
I did like the scene with Rick trying to pull the zombie out of the car.
Oh, the soldier guy.
I loved it. That was the best.
I was eating dinner and I had to close my eyes.
Yeah,
and I had to pause it because it was so grotesque.
Yeah. It was like Mr. Potato Head. He, like, pulled out the leg.
Yeah.
Pulled out another body part.
Yeah.
It was great.
So that was cool, though. We did get some. We got some zombie fighting with all of that, and
we saw a game between them two because they were both like on their own sides, and they were like counting how many zombies they killed and making little jokes, you know. And I like that part because you gotta have a little fun with it. I mean, you can't be serious all the time when you're killing zombies and it's the end of the world. But you know, there was still some element that I was like, okay. I even told her, I was like, something's gonna happen because this is way like. We're way too happy right now.
Yeah.
What is going to happen?
So I don't buy that relationship very well. Anyway, I don't. It doesn't resonate with me. What do you guys think? I mean, are you into Rick and Michonne? Is it do it for you?
Right. I mean, like you're saying, I get it. Like, it makes sense. She's definitely a powerful, you know, female figure. So it makes sense that they would be together. I think the reason why I'm not feeling it is because we don't have, or we haven't had, like, the flirting and like the tension and like the build up, you know. It's not like Jim and Pam or Ross and Rachel where like you're just waiting for it, you know. It's something that kind of just hit us, you know, just happened, like they gave it to us, you know. So it's not something like that I was like rooting for, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of like a cold dead fish hits you across the face is the way the relationship feels to me. It's
exactly
just,
like I could root for it makes sense, I get it
makes sense,
but I just wish they would have made me want it more, you know. Like they just gave it to me, so I was like, okay, well, you know, everyone wants to chase a little bit, you know what I mean.
Well,
so.
Here's the thing, I think also for me is that with Michonne, at the beginning when we were introduced to her character on the show and just kind of like the first couple seasons she was on the show, she really had no emotion. And I mean, there was definitely like a playoff of like her and Rick and, you know, maybe there could be something there, but we never really saw any real flirtation between the two. So I think that when it happened for me, I was thinking like, wow, this, you know, okay, I'm gonna go with this. But I still feel like we just never really got, they didn't ease us into her emotions with everything. You know, Rick has always been kind of played off of everything with emotion. I mean, Carl, you know, just all the characters, he's always emotional.
Yeah.
But with her, she's not that way. You know, until we got her backstory on how she became quote unquote Michonne, we never really saw that. So that, I think that's kind of like my problem with it, of how it all happened.
Well, as far as how their relationship happened on the show, that's a unique thing to this show. I mean, that's not something that, when you use the example of Ross and Rachel, you know, it's like, you would love to be able to compare a relationship in this show to any in another show, or, you know, I don't know, like Jack and Kate and Lost or something like
that. Right, exactly.
But the problem is, like, in this show, all of your love interests just die.
Right.
They all get eaten. So at a certain point, it's like Rick and Michonne are looking at each other, and it's kind of like, you're the last left standing, strong person who I share something with. And that's why that relationship happened.
Right.
It's like, I see something in you. I'm tired of losing people. You can take care of yourself, kind of thing. You know, you're going to survive. I'm going to survive. We're at the top of the food chain, so let's be together. And that's, I think, why that relationship started. It's just, I don't know if it's the actors, if it's the writing. I'm not really sure what it is. It just feels sort of hollow to me. And every time they try to throw a reactive moment, like we got in this episode, which we'll get to a little bit later, those are the ones that flop for me.
Well, the chat is upset with us because they said there's been flirting since, you know, seasons before. We're not saying that there hasn't been flirting there. What we're saying is that kind of like our viewpoint on how it all kind of has orchestrated itself. So, yes, we know that there is flirting. We know that very well.
Yeah.
We all watched episodes together, but that's not what we're saying. What we're saying is that it just kind of how the show has developed it, we don't necessarily believe everything that's happened. So, you know, but we understand that some people feel that this has been going on for many seasons now. So,
Yeah. So, anyway, they get into this amusement park and they see that there's this whole crazy setup of soldiers and there's like 60 plus guns. So, they have to take them all down. They do tear the one zombie apart and they find all this food. They have this romantic moment in the evening before they decide to go out and clear it. They find all these MREs, which, like, are MREs delicious? I mean, I guess if you're used to eating, like, just the worst, which is, like, what they're used to, maybe an MRE is really good, but I'm trying to think. I've never eaten an MRE, have you?
No,
I have not, no.
It's just mush, right? Is that what it is?
I think so, yeah.
It's, like freeze-dried, powder, and you, like, how could that taste good? I guess it's a lot of salt.
Right, I think, they're just making the point that compared to what they have been eating and what they have been getting, this is good, you know? So they're making that point, like, ugh. And it was crazy seeing them, like, eating out of a pouch, and they're like, oh, it's so good.
Yeah,
like,
right,
just that, you know, it was just weird, you know? It was, like, some sort of disconnect there.
Anybody in the chat ever had an MRE? Can you tell us? Can you attest? Is that delicious?
I will text that in there, type that in there.
But, yeah, so they're eating, and they're definitely getting at this whole thing with Rick, though, where, and he does allude to this later in the car, but he keeps pausing and saying, "Oh, we're good out here a couple more days. Mm-hmm. We're good to not go back," because he's obviously afraid of what's about to come. He knows what's coming. Mm-hmm. He knows the end game of once, and then, you know, Michonne even brings it up. What's going to happen after we kill Negan, after we get all the guns, after we start this war, then what? Mm-hmm. And she does start to talk about the world, that how they're going to shape the world after, which is interesting, because we will talk about comic book related spoilery stuff at the end of this episode. We'll always go into a minute or two about that, which actually John's not here, so I'll just talk at you guys and spoil Perfect. Things for you.
Yeah.
But I'll make sure we do it once the regular episode's done. But, you know, it is interesting to start thinking about this show will be on TV after the threat of Negan is gone.
Right.
Because Negan's not going to win. He's not going to kill Rick.
We don't know.
Maybe Negan will kill Rick.
We don't know. We'll see. Yeah.
But, I mean, I think the show, it would be a strange way to end The Walking Dead. But we have to assume that Rick's people probably win.
Well, Garrison Wortham said MREs are really good, and he put, you know, in caps, MREs are really good. So I'll take your word for it.
I guess it doesn't surprise me that much. It's just like, see, yeah, I agree with what Susanna said. Eating out of a pouch, it just didn't look
looked weird.
Delicious. Right. So that conversation happens, though, about like Rick and Michonne running the show together, being sort of king and queen a little bit of the world they're going to make after Negan. What'd you guys make of that conversation and how Rick reacted and the idea of the two of them kind of like run this town tonight, you know?
I liked it. I mean, I thought the conversation was it was sweet. I feel like this is something that I wish we would have seen before now. I feel like now they're kind of sort of like justifying the relationship in a way.
Yeah.
I wish I would have had this before to be like, oh, you know, that's why you guys want to be together. You know, I get it. But I mean, it makes a lot of sense, all the things they were talking about. And what I was getting from it, it almost felt like Rick was proposing to Michonne in a way, you know?
Oh, wow.
He was kind of it was kind of like saying, like, this is you and me forever. Like, this is it, you know? And it's up to us. He was saying, if something happens to me, you know, then you're taking over. It's, that's death to us part, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, the way, I don't know, it was just a very sweet moment. For a second, I thought, like, something more, I don't know, it would be stupid for him to propose, obviously. But still, I don't know, it just felt like that to me. It was a sweet moment for me.
I just felt a connection between the two.
Yeah, he liked it.
So, yeah, so that was key for me. I was like, okay, I can kind of get with this and see it.
It's so weird and disorienting, I feel like, because I agree with you. I said the thing about their chemistry feeling off, and it's like they're trying really hard to make it feel on, and there's little moments where it does feel on. Them laughing and eating the food, and Rick saying, oh, look, I found this one particular kind of food you're going to like. Look at
that's
this.
That's a very good impression.
Yeah. That actually is pretty good.
Pretty good.
And she's like, oh, that's great. Let's share this food. Then Rick's up and, you know, he's awake. It's like they're laying it on pretty thick.
Well, what I also found interesting is that if you notice, Rick kept saying we could stay out here a couple more days.
Right,
and she was like, let's get back. You know, she stayed consistent with that. He's like, well, we could have done a couple, two more days. And she's like, well, no, let's get back. You know,
we need to
get back to where we need, where we're safe.
It's a good Michonne you're doing right now.
Yeah. So, I don't know if I'm doing a good Michonne, but, you know.
We're just going to reenact the whole show for
you guys.
So they get out there then to clear the walkers, and they have this whole adventure with counting, and Rick sees this deer, and so he gets up on the Ferris wheel, and I guess there is the zombie's gun, starts shooting at them, which is like, that was actually kind of a cool thing. I thought that was kind of sweet. It was
random, but sweet.
It was just plausible enough where you're like, there's 70 zombies and they all have guns on them. So I guess it's plausible that like one of them after a certain amount of time wandering around would like get his rifle, you know, like trigger stuck on something. Like that's not totally unreasonable to think.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of badass to, you know, the rifle, and you're like, oh, who's shooting at him? It's a walker. So anyway.
Yeah. Right. And at first I was like, who's shooting? I thought
the Savior's, right?
Totally what I wanted to.
And
so.
I love that Michonne jumped right into the trunk and kept it moving. She was ready, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So anyway, Rick goes after this deer and he's like, oh, I'm not going to be able to save the deer, and falls, and there's like, so this was, I would say, the biggest issue with the whole episode. Somebody tweeted this at me because this airs at 6 and I was probably watching at like 6:40 and I was a few minutes behind this. Somebody tweeted me the dead Rick fake out was a real bummer. And I was like, as it was happening, I just was like, this feels so unearned. I mean, that was the moment in the episode where I was like, what is this for? You want us to see Michonne's reaction here. You want Michonne to think she's lost Rick and have this moment of total loss, but like, wait till there's a moment where it's believable that we would have lost Rick as an audience.
Because
for us as an audience, there's no chance for even a brief second you weren't positive that wasn't the deer.
Yeah.
Right? I was 1,000% that was the deer getting eaten.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, I even said to Susanna while we were watching it, I just said, I just knew it wasn't going to be Rick who was dead, because at the end of the day, you're not going to go through all these seasons and go through all this, and then that's how Rick goes out. I said, first of all, I was like, it's the deer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the bad CGI deer. But
you were so happy the deer got eaten.
I was actually happy the deer got eaten. But, you know, I agree with you. It's just it was very much focused on that, and it was focused on like the fake out. But I just knew it was not going to be Rick at that moment.
But do you have an issue with them just using that? Because they're too smart to know that as an audience, we aren't going to know that it's not Rick. So they know that we're not going to think it's Rick, right? So they're just doing it for the sake of showing us Michonne's reaction. That's the reason that's happening. And I just felt like, okay, but like, why don't you show us Michonne having that reaction in a moment where Rick actually could possibly have died? Or and maybe that's really hard to create, because he's the main protagonist on the show. So putting Rick in a situation where he's actually, we think as an audience, maybe he's dead, is almost impossible to create. And maybe they just realized that's the way it is, and there's no way for us to show you that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Playful Pantress says that Michonne's reaction was the point. She needed to think he was dead. So, you know, that I guess he or she, I'm not sure if it's, you know, who you are, but they're saying that was the point of them doing that in an episode.
So. Yeah, and I would say to that point, I agree with you. It's very difficult for us to actually have a moment as an audience where we think Rick's dead.
Right.
So maybe there's no better way of doing it. And it didn't last that long. It was fine. Mm-hmm. You know, Rick gets out, and they fight their way out, and they get back in the van with all the gear, and they, you know, get all the guns and whatnot. And then there's this moment where they pull over to the side of the road, and I like what Rick had to say here. I thought this was really important, that he explains to her, you know, I haven't been sleeping, and I keep thinking about our friends that we lost and Glenn, and people we're going to lose if we go into this fight. You know, we're going to lose our friends. We could even lose each other, but even if we lost each other, it would still be worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was good. That message was really sound, I thought. That's like what that's kind of what he needed to say, because it's like, it's that reminder we needed that Rick is actually in it to protect his community and his friends and his family, more than just looking out for like him and his female love interest, his daughter and Carl. It's about more than just a few people, because he realizes that like he's in a position of leadership. He needs to look out for the whole group.
Right.
If he doesn't do it, someone else isn't going to.
Right.
You know?
I mean, I think it's important for her to hear that too, because like, yeah, it's important for him to make it seem like this is bigger than just between the two of them, because he made the point, if he goes, she needs to carry on, you know, the mission, or you know, I guess Alexandria or whatever. So he made it very clear that, I don't know, I just felt like he made it clear that if he were to go, she's going to be in charge. And so I don't even know what I'm getting at.
Like, no, I hear what you're saying.
Like how important it was. So it doesn't end with them, you know? Like you were saying, the story's going to go on. And so because she felt so lost seeing Rick die or whatever, I feel like she really needs to know that even if he does die, because that could happen, like we said, we're getting too comfortable, you know, she can still move on. So it's definitely something she needed to hear. But again, like you were saying, a lot of this sort of, for me, just felt like they're just justifying the relationship a little bit.
Yeah, they're definitely trying. Rick also said to her, the other important line is he looks at her and he says, I would go on without you.
He did
say that.
That's a really important thing to say.
Yeah, and Anilda Rivera said, I didn't see, she said, sorry, I was trying to read it, but it went down the chat, so let me try that again. Well, I'll read that a little bit later. Go ahead, keep going.
That conversation was super important. I think, you know, John Carl's not here, but one thing he did suggest earlier on in the season was that he felt this season was kind of a reset a little bit, that the reason that it felt so unbalanced was that you had this big, big opener with Negan, you know, bashing in brains, and that everything that kind of was going to happen after that was like, it's a whole new ball game. Mm-hmm. You've got this new specter of evil that everybody's kind of reacting to and chasing. Mm-hmm. You have two of your main characters gone. You have everybody's sense of themselves, their safety, their home, totally up in the air.
Right.
But because they had just finished the storyline of establishing that Alexandria was this place they needed to protect, they weren't going to just go on the run. They weren't just going to run and leave. They were going to stay and fight and try to figure it out. So without Glenn, you know, Maggie leaves, like you kind of scatter the group and you have all these new relationships. This was the season they kind of had to take to reboot the show a little bit in some ways.
That's very true.
And that's why Rick and Michonne probably has felt like they're feeding it to us so hard, because they needed to really hammer home that relationship.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
It was super important for them to make us respect that relationship, seeing as that it only started in the back half of last season.
Yeah.
This was the season they were, you know, it's the same way Maggie's got a totally new role now. Like, people have completely different jobs. And so I do think that that's the reason that we've gotten to this point. So before we get to the confrontation in the junkyard, which was like just hilarious to me. I do want to talk about Rosita a little bit. Mm-hmm. So Rosita goes, well, Rosita. She's just the worst right now. She's just the worst. Like, it sucks because Rosita wasn't one of these characters in the beginning who was like, she had this great, rich story, and you knew so much about her, and you were such a fan, and that she experienced loss, so now she was going to go in the tank and become this really dark person, that when she came out of it, it was going to be, like, hugely rewarding. She was, like, a pretty fringe character to begin with. Mm-hmm. So you took somebody who had, like, very little personality or scenes in the episodes she was in, and then just make her the worst one-note character. So now the redemption's not even going to feel deserved if she comes out of it.
So you think it's on purpose they're making us hate her?
It's gotta be. There's no way they would be putting her in this position episode after episode with the same just, like, sourpuss, bitter, vengeful, one-note, like, all I want to do is give the finger to everyone, be mad at the world, right, and kill Negan, and that's going to make it better. Like, and it's like, I just don't feel for her. I don't feel for her. That's a problem.
It's a battle on the chat right now. Some people are saying Rosita needs to die. Some people are saying they love Rosita. Dominic White says Rosita's going to make everyone fight before they are ready. Mark my words, people will die because of her actions. Mm-hmm. So, here's the thing with Rosita. Once again, it's like, I just feel like we get one note from her. I get it. She's upset. You know, she lost her boo, but, you know, it's just like, I don't know. We keep getting the same things. I'm not seeing any layers right now with her. And it's going to be in my predictions, but I've said this for a while now. I think that she's really the next major character to kind of go.
Yeah,
maybe they're setting it up. I mean, I would say with Rosita, because
we have no emotional attachment to her really right now. There's nothing to build us up for that.
I'm annoyed. I'm totally annoyed with Rosita. However, I do think that in reality she's playing the character well. Because she's playing it one note, but she's playing it in a way that is pissing everybody off, and it's making us all, like, we kind of are loving to hate her. She's the most fun character to hate on
right now.
She is.
Right. So hopefully when she does go, it'll be, like, satisfying in a way, you know?
Yeah. Like when Spencer was pretty satisfying.
Yeah, like that.
He was. Actually.
But now Gabriel's, like, back to being sweet, and, like, you're so mad because he's like a good character.
He's actually coming around for me, and I hate that I said that. I actually wrote some notes about him tonight. I was upset when I was writing the notes. I said, how dare I actually like Gabriel at one point?
Yeah.
Who am I? Who am I becoming? He's come a long way with me. You know, I am not afraid to say he was not one of my favorite characters.
Yeah.
But I am willing to give the bro a chance, and he has turned around a little bit for me.
He had a good, really good scene with Rosita tonight, actually. Yeah. I really liked what he had to say.
Yeah.
You know, Rosita goes out to try to find guns on her own after doing her own scar tissue surgery.
Yeah.
And Tara's like, let me help. I liked what Tara said, too. I liked that Tara just called her out. She was like, why don't you save some of this for them? You know, and it's true. It's like,
right,
get off of it. We're friends. I'm like here to try to help you, and mm-hmm, all you're doing is just giving me attitude, you know?
For what?
Get rid of your toot. What's the problem with you?
Yeah, I even wrote it down. It's like a statement that Gabriel made to Rosita. Anything is possible until your heart starts beating. I was like, and I even put in parentheses, who knew that Gabriel would have the profound words for me right now?
Yeah.
Who am I becoming that I like Gabriel?
Well, it's from one of his gospels.
Exactly.
Because she says all these things. She's venting to Gabriel, and she's yelling at him because, you made me do this, you made me do that. And I like that he says, I did, and you did.
Yeah.
That happened.
Yeah.
You know? So now what are you going to do with the situation you're in, right? Are you going to do something about it, change the stakes, or are you going to yell at a fool? And, like, that was just great. It was like, I was like, preach, man.
He finally is kind of becoming the character that I felt he should have been a couple seasons ago, honestly.
Right. He had to have his faith kind of, like, murdered and eaten by zombies a little bit.
Yeah. He had to kill a couple zombies and get some balls first.
Yeah, right. He had to, like, go through the world a little bit, you know? Yeah. I would liken it to, like, the person that, like, has their high school sweetheart and they date them all through college and they think that that's the person they're going to marry. And then they go through a brutal breakup and then they have, like, an adult relationship and that one actually changes them. And then, like, in their late 20s, it's like, oh, yeah, it's on. Like, it's I'm on, not worried yeah, about dating yeah, anymore. Yeah, exactly. I know the world. Like, that's what I feel like Gabriel went through. You know? He was like, I know the world. I'm a man of faith. And then the zombie apocalypse happened and he, like, made some really bad decisions and he, like, let some people get eaten.
Yeah.
And then now he's like, all right, I get it. I've
get it.
I've been through some shit.
He's actually a voice of reason, which is crazy.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah. Maybe that was a really strange metaphor. Let's move on.
I got it, though.
Interesting. That was a learning experience for me. I was like, oh, is that men?
I got it.
So, but yeah, so Rosita goes out, and she does find one, like, pretty Resident Evil-looking zombie. That was a terrifying zombie.
I thought she looked more Evil Dead-ish. It was very Evil Dead-ish.
Yeah, she's zombie. Got the rolls got the, of yeah, skin.
The, yeah, it's yeah. like the fluids popping out. You yeah. know, mm-hmm. it's a lot going on.
She went for the throat slice, yeah, and yeah. it was like the brown.
Oh,
like,
it was
yeah,
perfect.
It's like snotty and yellow yeah. and brown. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They do have I fun loved it, though. From time to time on this episode with creating a really grotesque, like a really grotesque walker, and that was a good one.
I loved yeah. it. And she was just in like a casual camisole, like a little tank top, you know? Usually they're in like flannels, or yeah. they're more like covered up, so sure. I liked seeing all of her. It was great.
Yeah, and then Rosita just gets this gun, and it's just, it's not, it's a BB gun.
Yeah, it's oh, a BB right, gun. Yeah, yeah.
She's just
pissed
gun.
Off about
it was, like,
that.
Plastic.
Yeah, she wasn't happy. She was mm-hmm. upset. So she goes back. She, was upset. And, she goes back, and after the gun incident happens, she runs off and she meets up with Sasha. Brings Sasha like a sweet, sweet sniper rifle, and she's like, "We're going to take on Negan." And I just hated everything she had to say. I was a little surprised with Sasha. A little surprised that Sasha just was immediately on board. She just
yeah.
I thought that Sasha would ask a few more questions.
Very easy.
But the fact that Rosita was just like, "They want more guns, more time." You know, more excuses. I was like, shut up! More excuses! What are you talking about? Like, they're being pragmatic. You're all gonna die if you just go to try to kill these guys right now.
Right? Oh, don't God. You remember shooting the bullet into Lucille? You don't remember that, girl? Don't you feel like you should kind of think it through a little more?
I agree with you, but there has been moments that we've seen in this episode, it's been subtle, but where Sasha and Rosita have kind of, you know, they've connected in a weird way, you
oh,
know?
Yeah.
And
yeah, yeah,
and
definitely.
So I'm not surprised so much that Sasha was so willing to go in and just, because they're both wanting revenge
yeah.
very desperately.
Totally.
And now I would think that Sasha's going to be more the logical person with this because yeah. Rosita's just going in like, you know, pure emotion, where I feel like Sasha can maybe think about it a little bit more and, you know, have at least a strategy, mm-hmm. you know? Versus just like, let's just go in and kill some people and shoot some heads.
Look, I'm going to be totally honest with you. I like Sasha, and Rosita's not, she's not beyond it for me. Like, she could still come back. So maybe we're going to get like a sweet Thelma and Louise situation, and it'll be Sasha and Rosita like going to wreak havoc as like a tag team, and maybe that'll be cool to watch.
Right. But you know? Will that help or hurt the situation? Yeah, that's
probably
what makes
hurt
me,
the situation.
That's what makes me nervous.
Yeah, I have to think they're going to cause some trouble.
Yeah.
Well, according to Kataga H, if I'm messing it up, I apologize. A good war is planned carefully, not rushed like Rosita.
Yeah.
So.
So at the same time, we have this conversation that happens between first Tara and Judith, and then Tara yeah. and Rick.
Judith, whose hair is getting so long now, she's like yeah. becoming a young little woman.
Yeah. yeah. So Tara
had a lot to put in. Yeah. She had a lot to say about that.
So Tara births a bunch of brilliant exposition about what she's thinking to Judith, mm-hmm. and then she decides she's going to tell Rick. So here's what I thought. Every one of us knew from day one that when Tara went to Oceanside, that 100% the point of that was to show us that there were guns somewhere nearby.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All of us knew that. And
we
it
knew
was
that.
The point of the episode was very clear.
Right, and they were gun heavy.
Tonight I realized I think the biggest issue with that was because it was just Tara who went there, and she's the only one that has that awareness of where those guns are. And Tara, in general, that was the first time we had ever had a Tara-centric episode. She's not a main character. She's mm-hmm. a character that's had one important relationship that's no longer active,
true.
And overall it was just kind of a fringe character. It's kind of an issue plotting wise because it draws a little, it makes the plotting seem a little too simple. It makes Oceanside really feel like they're only relevant to the story for the fact that they have guns, and that I would have rather it was a different character that other than Tara that it ended up there. You know what I'm saying? I think the fact that like Tara is a lesbian character and it's a group of all women is an interesting, like, that's an interesting place to put her as a character,
yeah.
and I understand
right.
why they would choose that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if Tara was with someone, if it was two characters instead of one, I think it would have been a little more plausible.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that Tara's the only connection and Tara's not a character that we would normally follow or care about makes that plot point feel even more disconnected.
Right.
It makes it feel even more just an illustration of this is where we're supposed to get guns.
Mm.
Like, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I get what you're saying. I think for me, I kind of like that it's it's a little iffy with her, you know? I feel like you can't totally trust her. I mean, you can trust her and, you know, like, she's a nice girl. But, I mean, like, you know, I don't know that she's going to make that decision. So I kind of like it. If she was with someone, obviously someone would be forcing her to, you know, go there and reveal Oceanside or whatever. But I feel like because it's just her and because she is, like you said, a fringe character, we don't know what she's going to do. So I think that's exciting for me, you know? She could sort of mess it up or not follow through, so.
Yeah.
How do you think Rick's going to react when she tells him?
I think he's going to flip out a little bit.
Think so?
I mean, how are you going to be mad at her? Like, well, I mean, okay, I guess.
Because in theory, she already told him, right? Or, I mean, or did it, because didn't it end and then we saw the scene in the junkyard, or was it the other way around? The scene in the junkyard was after, or was before, I mean. Was the junkyard scene before she has the conversation with Rick? Am I just mixing those two things up? She says, I need to talk to you about something.
It was after, I believe.
So that's where it ends. Yeah. So we haven't seen that. Yeah. Okay. I thought maybe it happened off screen and we just didn't see it yet.
Oh, right.
So no, okay. Maybe we'll see that interaction in the next episode, but we'll see.
Well, what you said, we're seeing Tara tonight in a different light. I mean, we haven't really seen a really big backstory of her for a while, you know? So it actually made me a little bit more compassionate for her tonight, where I was like, okay, you know, she's kind of the liaison with a lot of things that could be going on, you know? So it's interesting. Yeah. We'll see where her character goes, but I wasn't upset about her being kind of the liaison tonight on the show.
I guess my thought was this. Okay, so Heath is gone right now. Heath is gone.
Yeah.
He's been gone on 24 for a while, and he'll be back at some point, we think. If he had been there with her, let's say he had gone to Oceanside with her and then had returned with her, and they both knew, and they were holding the secret together, and that this was like an internal conflict where they were having conversations about it. And it was like, should we tell them? I think we should tell them. Well, I don't think we should. That would be interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it would also make it feel more cohesive because you would have two characters within the group that both knew. It's just something weird about having one minor character that has this one secret, and that secret is a brutally obvious plot point that's only there to service this one other plot point. It's like, we're just going to just create this thing and put a little character in a box, and then we're going to add that box to the story when we find it necessary. Because she's not really very relevant, and neither is Oceanside yet.
But then my build up to that is the conspiracy theory is that, you know, they present us more backstory with Tara that we like her, and then we start to like her, then she's
and they kill
be
her.
Gone.
Right. Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, look, maybe they're gonna go to Oceanside. There'll be like a sweet shootout, and you know, like maybe it's like way cooler than I think. I thought about it some more tonight with that, and I was like, it's just weird that she's having a conversation with a baby who can't respond.
Yeah,
and like that's
and that's why, because she didn't have someone else. Going
yeah,
because
there's no one else who knows what's going on. So she just got this one character, and she continues to exist in a box.
Judith could write a book when she gets older. She's heard and seen a lot at this point.
Right.
So she's, the final scene... Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm just thinking. So she's growing up in Alexandria in that house, right? Who's watching her?
Yeah, Tara? They rarely show. Like, Olivia was watching her for a little while, and she gets, you know, babysat by whoever. So the final scene of the episode is that they go to this junkyard, and they have a conversation with the junkyard folk. And we are, like, more illustrations of the sweet, weird language that they use.
Yes.
Like... do you have any of the quotes written down there where she's like, where she's like more guns,
more guns. Complete sentences,
more soon we'll fight is what she said. More soon we'll fight,
that's what she says.
I don't think that is a full sentence, homegirl. I'm just letting you know.
She's like, I made an inventory.
No
to the inventory.
Yeah,
right. More soon we'll fight, more guns. We control guns.
It's like, we control,
yeah, it's like, come on. Like,
you need some more filler words.
Yeah, you guys came up with like this whole language. I don't know. I mean, I do love it. I'm actually a big fan of the junkyard people. I said this in their episode, that, like, I'm fully entertained by the haircuts, fully entertained by the speech pattern. Like, this is a comic book show, so when you do give us that, sometimes I'm okay with the whole, like, suspension of disbelief thing. I like the pit monster.
Yeah.
You know, I'm good with all that stuff.
And I love that all the groups have, like, their different leaders with very different languages.
Very
like,
different
I think
languages.
It was last week, Ezekiel.
And very different things.
And I like the negotiations. It was Rick was like 8. She's like 9. He's like he's like 10. She's like 20. You
and
know,
the cat
and,
comes into
and
play.
The cat, yeah. He's like, but I keep the cat. You know, and she's like, okay, fine, with 20. I'm like, what's going on right now?
Yeah, the 20. I thought that was really important that they're going 5, 6, 8, 9, 10, and then he jumps from 9 to 20.
20, yeah.
He's like, you know what? F you. Like, I'm sick and tired of listening to you. I'm going to make some demands. Yeah. I got you 63 guns. You know? You don't want trouble? Well, then, like, we're going to tell you what we're going to do. Yeah. Like, that was good that he made that decision, I thought.
Totally.
So, yeah, that was pretty much
it. Well, according to Gimme Shelter, they say, I do not like the junkyard dogs. Take them, take that up, up.
Up, up.
Oh, up, up.
Up, up. Take that up,
take up. Take them up, up.
Up, up. To Winslow.
Winston's, yeah.
Winslow? Winston?
Winslow? Winslow's gone now.
Is it Winslow? But that was his name, right?
Yeah.
I think okay, so, yeah. Good question from Catty Gat H. Is it possible for people to lose language after civilization has crumbled? Maybe.
I would imagine so.
It's possible.
Yeah.
I think we're losing language in general.
Yeah.
Just as a country.
Being replaced by Twitter.
Right.
Yeah, I think that pretty much wraps up my thoughts on the episode. Did you guys have any other...
I was going to ask you guys, did you think there was anything to the fact that there were so many soldiers at that carnival, and then we did see some walkers that had their hands tied? Did you notice that?
Hands tied, and they made a motion to see the ER when Rick looked, and it was the ER letters, you know, so that was key, too.
So do you think there was anything to that? I wasn't sure if you guys
thought
there was
anything. I didn't pick up on any of that, no.
Yeah, the ER, it was, because I don't know what the beginning of the spelling was, because we were going through it so quickly, but they wanted us to focus on the fact that he saw ER, you know, so, you know, if anybody knows that in the chat, let us know.
That's interesting. I did find that a little interesting, just the idea that there would be that many walkers with that much firepower in an open area that with so many outposts and people patrolling all the time, no one had found them yet.
Right.
You know, it's like you struggle to find a house anywhere in your, you know, reasonably convenient area that has, like, a can of beans in its cabinet.
Exactly.
You find, like, a...
That was a jackpot.
An amusement park full of walkers with guns on them.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't strike... Yeah, that doesn't strike me as, like... Like, that seems less likely. Right. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but
and
maybe...
And they're saying, like, they found the one way in, but I was like, I mean, that you can just call it... climbed over that fence I was there, you know, so I don't know how hidden that place really was, but...
And I guess they were staying out a couple days longer than they were used to, so maybe they just, like, went way further out or something.
True. Yeah, that could be it. True. Yeah.
But, yeah, I was curious. I mean, if anybody knows in the chat, if anybody picked up on something that I missed about that, but I did think about that.
Well, and it was interesting to me, too, because I found it that they were having a lot of fun, you know? It was like, even when Michonne was shooting at the what do you call it, the little...
Cans,
the cans or whatever it was.
Yeah, like carnival games. Yeah.
Carnival games, you know, it just, they were really trying to show us. I just felt like, once again, the whole message was people getting relaxed.
Yeah.
And that you can't get relaxed.
Right.
Because then it went from that to her emotional breakdown of thinking that he was dead.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. So I suggest we get into predictions, maybe? Yes?
Yes.
After Buzz TV predictions.
Thanks, Mark. All right. So, predictions. I think that Rosita and Sasha are going to go on their mission.
Mm-hmm.
We'll call it the Thelma and Louise mission. At the same time that I think Rick will go to Oceanside and get the guns, and I think that they will converge on like Negan's compound at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Rick's plan will be like on the verge of happening, and that a huge wrench is going to get thrown with something that Rosita and Sasha do. I think it's going to be like it's going to be the thing that makes the carefully orchestrated plan of going against Negan go haywire, and things are going to go mayhem will be caused because of it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I totally agree. I see that happening. I wrote suicide mission because I think they're going on a suicide mission, and I feel like because we're kind of like hating on Rosita and she's so hard on herself. She was talking this episode about, you know, she felt responsible for Eugene, Olivia, Spencer. I never really connected it that way, but I guess she could feel that responsibility. So I'm thinking that her and Sasha go on this mission and something happens with Sasha. Because I've been kind of assuming that something's going to happen with Sasha.
Yeah.
So I think she's going to be responsible for the loss of Sasha.
She's got that new show she's on.
Exactly, and that's part of it.
Show,
so I was like, she's got to go, and I think Rosita's going to be part of that.
I think that they're going to go there, and I feel like in a way that Sasha's going to pull back. I actually disagree with both you guys. I feel like she's going to pull back a little bit and realize, you know, that maybe they're not as equipped to handle the situation as much as they are because they're basing everything off of anger. And something's going to happen to Rosita because of that.
I was like, maybe she'll tell Rick what Rosita's up to.
What Rosita's up to.
It kind of seems like one of them needs to save the other one because of the way their relationship has worked. It would strike me as like maybe, you know, Rosita gets... Yeah, I'm not really sure. Maybe Sasha dies saving Rosita. Maybe that's what happens.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
And that teaches Rosita to... you know, woman up and be, you know, a little tougher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because even Rosita made a statement that she had memorized what Daryl, Carol, and Rick had told her, and then she had created a map for Sasha? It was someone that created a map
Jesus?
For Sasha. Jesus had created a map for Sasha. So they're, you know, they're well equipped to handle it, but I feel like somehow Sasha's going to come to the logic, because Sasha's a different emotion than what Rosita is as far as the revenge.
Yeah.
So I feel like, I don't know, I just feel like they're setting this up, something for Rosita to fall off. Because how long can you be this angry? I mean, where is it going to get us?
Seems like a while based on what the show's been giving us. So, all right, guys. Anything else?
Just Foolish says that Rosita lives and Sasha dies. And some people, Natasha Grimes said, I don't care for Sasha at all. So it's like mixed in the chat. Fair enough. So we'll see.
Daryl, where can the folks find you?
You can find me at Daryl Kristen on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. That's DerrilChriston. And our sister company, Black Hollywood Live.
Yes, you guys can find me at Susanna underscore Kim, Susannah underscore Kim.
And I have decided to eschew the plan to spoil things for them and talk about comic book spoilers, so we're just going to end the episode. You guys can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter or Instagram. Follow me, interact, questions, anything like that. We like to respond and talk with you guys, and we will see you same time, same place next week.
Yep.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.